What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark. I
I thought you were waiting for me to do my name first.
don't know why. I don't know why.
And Brooke.
Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck. All right. Yeah, this is our third time trying this. Let's go. It's March. That means it's our birthday month. And so we've each picked something a little bit different that we're gonna do, and hopefully we have some fun with it and we can create some quality content. But your pick of the month is season one of Black Mirror.
The whole season.
A whole season, three whole episodes. What made you decide that this is what you wanted to do?
I don't know. I've always thought that Black Mirror kind of had horror aspects in it. HMC did an episode on our podcast.
Right, they did.
She's probably 3 years ago now.
Yeah,
Wow.
that was an April Fool's thing.
That was an April Fool's thing. Just, I think this show is just fantastic. So
Have
I
you?
think
Oh, go ahead.
it's just a good discussion too.
For sure. Have you watched every episode of the series?
No, I haven't seen the newest season.
Okay.
Yeah, how about you?
Well, this is like, it's one of those shows that like it doesn't follow any timeline or anything like that. It's all just like anthology. So like I've watched episodes here and there, but I've never like from start to finish watched the entire series.
Yeah, there
But
might be like one or two episodes maybe I didn't see, but I'm pretty sure I've seen them all except for the latest season.
nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. We'll kick off our news and booze, and then we will dive into this season one. Right, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a, I don't even know what beer company this is. It's a Zodiac Extra Nelson. It's got
Okay.
some funky alien stuff on it.
Neat.
The company is Omnipolo.
Oh,
Never
never
heard of
heard of
them.
them.
I just thought the can was cool. How about you?
Getting a stupid warning here. Low system resources may affect your audio quality. God damn it. If this fucks up again, I'm gonna be pissed. But anyways, I'm drinking another can of The Mutants Are Revolting from Flying
Nice.
Monkeys. Drank this last week. Have another can of it tonight. It's the same as it did last week.
I would hope so.
How's yours?
Haven't tried it yet, actually. Definitely a strong beer.
Here.
What, does it taste funny?
Yeah. Did I grab the wrong can, or did they sell me a very old beer? That might have been sitting in my fridge. August 28th, 2023. Yeah, it's got a smell.
Well, go grab another one if you want.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that because I'm not
Okay.
drinking that whole can. That's fucking gross. After my first
Oh.
sip, I was like, this kind of tastes like rotten eggs a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, so it doesn't taste the same as it did last week.
This is a great start to this
Holy
episode.
fuck. Anyways, I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. I'm drinking a Coors Light. That's all I had left. Well, excuse me, that was nasty. All right, anyways. What have you been watching this week?
I only watched one movie this week, and it was the most important movie that I needed to watch, and that is Dune Part 2.
Saw your score. It was
Yeah.
good.
Oh man, it's Denis is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just like the scale of the movie and the shots and the scenes in it, like man, I'm hoping to watch it tomorrow night in IMAX with Bettina.
Nice.
But yeah, man. Like gave me vibes of like watching like Two Towers in theaters, like just that spectacle and yeah, man.
Nice. So must watch in theaters, obviously.
Yes. What would you?
I haven't watched anything.
All right.
I Yeah, haven't watched anything. Played some more Helldivers.
Nice.
Read some books. Watched Black Mirror. All right, we'll kick off our news. Very, very important bit of news for us. I don't think you're aware of this. I've been keeping it a secret. We're not pregnant again. That's not it.
Oh shit, okay.
No, this is officially our 200th episode of a podcast on Elm Street.
Wow. And
Yeah.
it's a special one
I
too.
know. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
All right.
Thought it was neat that it landed on our birthday month and
That's
also
crazy.
like 200th birthday. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty neat.
That's wild.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while now.
You can say that.
All right. As for like horror news, I only have one bit. They have announced that the Halloween TV series is going to be a complete reset of the franchise, so they're starting right from ground up, I guess. So we'll see what they do. I'm cautiously optimistic and excited about it, but I mean, this franchise has been kind of reset and reworked. I don't know how many times now, so I don't know. We'll see. See how it goes. All right. 4Ks.
4Ks. For good.
Yeah, I think so.
So we got 355, Hell or High Water. It's a sick ass steelbook. Hacksaw Ridge steelbook.
Nice.
Dread. American Psycho
Ooh.
steelbook. I love that. That slipcover is so sick.
Yeah.
The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. That's it. Pretty solid week for 4Ks and some sick steelbooks, man.
Nice.
Cool. Well, that's it.
All right. Short and sweet. I guess we can cue the theme music, dive into this episode. All right, so like we said in the intro, we are doing season one of Black Mirror. This series started in 2011 and it's still currently running with its sixth season just releasing late last year, I think. Or is it
Yeah,
this year?
last year, yeah.
Yeah. And IMDb has a season seven on there, so I can only assume that they're planning for another season. So yeah, a little series rundown. Black Mirror is a British anthology television series created by Charlie Brooker. Individual episodes explore a diversity of genres, but most are set in near future dystopias with sci-fi technology, a type of speculative fiction. The series is inspired by The Twilight Zone and uses the themes of technology and media to comment on contemporary social issues. There are 27 total episodes across six series and one special in addition to the interactive film Black Mirror Bandersnatch, which was released in 2018. I remember when that came out. That was fucking cool.
That was crazy.
I think that was one of the first like interactive movies that was available. It was really neat. So yeah, this season has three episodes. Each one runs between 45 minutes and an hour. Episode one is the national anthem. Episode two is 15 Million Merits. And episode three is the entire history of you. So we're going to break down each episode individually, and then we'll kind of have a discussion afterwards. So starting off with episode one, the national anthem, the plot of that episode is Prime Minister Michael Callow faces a shocking dilemma when Princess Susanna, A much-loved member of the royal family is kidnapped. I like how they keep the little surprise ending out of
Oh,
this.
you have to, man.
This episode was directed by Otto Bathurst. He's done 4 episodes of Halo. He did 2018's Robin Hood with Taron Egerton. And he's done 3 episodes of Peaky Blinders. Our cast is Rory Kinnear. No relation to Greg Kinnear. He plays Michael Callow. He was in Daniel Craig's 007 movies, The Imitation Game, Penny Dreadful, and Men. Lindsay Duncan plays Alex Cairns. She was in Birdman, About Time, Under the Tuscan Sea, and The Wheel of Time. Donald Sumpter played Julian. He's in The Heart of the Sea, The Constant Gardener, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And lastly, Lydia Wilson plays Princess Susanna. She was also in About Time and Star Trek Beyond.
Nice.
Let's discuss this episode.
Let's discuss. I mean, what a fucking way to start your TV series.
So bold.
I have a funny story with this episode.
Do tell.
So, on my first Euro trip by myself, going over to the UK, I think it was just like 2017, maybe 2018. Decide that I never watched Black Mirror before, so I'm going to download a few episodes. First episode I watch on the plane is this one, National Anthem. Watching it, it's going through, and then it's like, okay, princess gets captured. The prime minister has to fuck a pig. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay. But it doesn't stop there because it goes into graphic detail, and I immediately stopped watching it on the plane because
Good call.
if people saw that, they'd be like, what the fuck is this guy watching?
On the plus side, and like maybe a saving grace for you is like you were going to the UK, so maybe people will had like started watching UK shows to kind of
Maybe.
get a better understanding of the entertainment over there. So they would have been like, yo, that's Black Mirror. And you'd been like, yeah, I'm not a creepy dude watching a guy fuck a pig.
I mean, like, this is, man, you talk about, like you said, bold. Like, to have this as your first episode, it takes balls, and I think it worked, honestly.
It definitely was, yeah, shock value for sure. I'm sure it made people want to see what the rest of the season was all about.
Basically, it starts off, Prime Minister gets called into, I guess, his like kind of Oval Office kind of thing. And shown a video of the princess tied up. She's captured, and she's reading something from the kidnapper, and she says, what's the prime minister's name again? You just said it.
Michael Callow.
Michael, that my life depends on you. Like, you have to do something. And then his like kind of team pause it, and they're like, now, Michael, before we continue on, this is real. This is actually the princess, and it's a real video and request. And he's like, okay, well, they want money, like, whatever they want, just play the videotape. And the princess continues on, and she just says that by 4 p.m., if the prime minister hasn't done this sexual act to a pig, then the princess will be murdered. And then at first he just kind of laughs, and he's like, ah, funny joke, guys. Like, oh, Michael, fucking a pig. And they're like, no, this is a legit video. And this guy's life changes forever just for a very stupid thing, but also, I don't know.
I do like how this episode kind of plays out. Like, they spend so this all happens within like the first 10 minutes. It's a 45-minute episode. They spend the next like maybe 25 minutes of the episode trying to figure out how they can get out of this, what they can do to prevent the president ha or the prime minister having to have sex with a pig. And like, it's kind of interesting to see like the chaos and like what they come up with and shit like that. But this kidnapper, he's always one step ahead of them.
And like he's a politician, so of course he has multiple people around him telling him different things, right? Like Alex is saying, she's on like the politics side, right? Like you have to do this for the royal family, like all this stuff for your numbers. And then he has another guy, kind
Julian.
of friend Julian, who's kind of like on his side a bit, like, hey, the numbers, like they're tolling people like across the country, and they're saying that like they're on your side, they feel for you, like they won't like be mad at you if you don't do it, It's just interesting to see like kind of the different sides of things.
And it's interesting to put yourself in the shoes of like the viewers and the voters and shit like that. Like, would you blame this guy? Like, if he didn't do it? 'Cause like, I know it would be a fucking tough decision. Like, this girl's life is literally in your hands, but like, you're a prime minister. Like, this is, and this is gonna be broadcast on live television all over the world. Like, you have lost. Or you would think that you would lose like all credibility, all respect, but at the same time, like you're saving a life.
I
And she's not
mean,
like, she's not like a just like any princess either. Like, she,
she's like the Duchess of whatever.
yeah. And but like the way that they're describing her is like she's the people's princess. So like I'm kind of like comparing her to Princess Diana, right? Like how she was just like loved and adored by everybody all over the world.
So yeah. And I feel like this episode is like kind of way ahead of its time. Like I feel like obviously that's what the show's going for, but I think like it really does. Well, these episodes are really way ahead of their time because like it's stuff that could actually happen. And like this episode came out in 2011, which is like, 6 years after like Facebook and like, YouTube has been around for like a while, but I don't know, just goes to show like everyone just glued in on this fucked up thing, and like there's people watching the YouTube video, and then like they turn on the news and the news isn't talking about it, and they're like, well, why isn't the news talking about this? And you kind of see that side of things because in our day now, the news doesn't show, it picks and chooses what it wants to show, right?
Yeah,
And
like mainstream news.
this news station, like the main guy is like, oh, we're not going to show it. And then like a guy walks in, he's like, oh, CNN showed it, ABC showed it, and he's like, oh, for fuck's sakes. No, we have to. I love that they're trying to hire a porn actor to do the thing, and like the guy's like all for it, and like they have him like put on this like green screen mask, because they're gonna get like VFX to like paint his face on it, and it's like so ridiculous.
I love this interaction between the porn star and like the security guy too. 'Cause like the porn star is just, he's hyped. He's like, yeah,
He
let's
is.
fucking do this. Like, I'm gonna fuck a pig.
Yeah.
And the security guard's just like wants no part of it, just like throws the mask at him. He's like, put this on.
Yeah,
But then
that's funny.
like I said before, like this guy who kidnapped the princess, he's just one step ahead of them already. And there's a video that goes out and it looks like they're cutting off the princess's finger and then they mail the finger to them.
Yeah, because they play like they put like a memory stick in it, and it says like, I had rules, and like, do you think I'm stupid, basically? And the video of him cutting her finger off. And then like they think that they clued in onto where this guy is, so there's like a SWAT team going to this location, and then there's like another kind of small side piece of this girl named Malika, I think her name is,
Yes, it yeah.
and another guy who works at a news station. They're like sending like nudes back and forth, and she ends up going to this like SWAT place, and she's like in there with the camera, and then the SWAT team, they find out it's a decoy, and she's like tries running away. They just like smash out the window and shoot her, and like it's like Jesus, man, like just go and shoot her like that, like holy fuck.
Yeah. In their defense, they probably thought she was part of it all
Yeah, that's
until
true.
they got close to her.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, and like at this point, the people and other polls come out, and people are starting to change their thoughts that they think that he should do it because, like, the video of her finger getting cut off is swaying the people.
Yeah. And all throughout this whole episode too, we see Michael's wife periodically, and
Yeah.
she obviously doesn't want him to do it.
Yeah.
And you see like her descent throughout the episode of her like coming to the realization that like he is gonna do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't like this woman. We're not at the end of the episode yet, but like,
No, it's, man, this whole situation is fucked. Like, because, like, I get where she's coming from, because, like, whenever she first goes into his office and she's like, people are talking about it. I know they're laughing at us. And, like, you know, she's probably an important figure because she's, like, you know, the first wife or whatever, right? So, like, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I also thought Alex was like a bitch too. Like,
Yeah.
she was really mean to like Michael. Like, after like everything is done, the SWAT team found the decoy. She's the one that like sent the people there and to try and do like the porn star, and Michael's like pissed off at her and like fucking else chokes her out,
Yeah, that was nuts.
and she just says like, you know, you have to do this, like the royal family and like all these other politicians, like you have to do this, you it's out of your hands now. He's basically saying like you have no choice, right? And she says that if he doesn't do it, that the royal family can't guarantee that his safety like won't be guaranteed.
Yeah, which I don't get. Like, is the royal family gonna kill him? What do they mean by that?
And then she says at the end, like she made a law to make it legal for people to store images or store the event on their phone. But it's like, can you make that law like worldwide?
Yeah, she says like after midnight it'll be illegal to have this on their phone.
Yeah.
So like she's saying that as if it's sort of like a peace offering for Michael,
Yeah.
right? Like if you do this,
Yeah.
like I've done this for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, Reddit's a thing. I'm pretty sure it was a thing back in 2011. Like
Yeah.
once it's
Yeah.
on the internet, it's not getting off the internet.
Oh yeah. Like at the beginning, whenever he says like Michael is like, okay, this doesn't leave the room. And then the guy's like, Julian's like, well, it already has. Michael's like, all right, well, delete it. And they're like, well, it was actually on YouTube. And he's just like, well, take it off. And he's like, we did that for 9 minutes. Like 60 of them just kept popping up. And he's
Yeah.
like, once it hits the internet, like you're done, right?
Yeah.
So Michael is on the way to film this nice video. He gets there, he finds that the pig is sedated. And I also love too, it keeps cutting back to like a bar and then also like a hospital.
Yeah.
And I love that it's showing like two different kind of forms of society, right?
Yeah.
Like you have the bar people, you have like the nurses and doctors, and it's like, okay, you would think that the nurses and doctors wouldn't watch it, right?
Yeah.
But then you have people kind of mix, like there's bar people who are watching it, people who are kind of like not watching it, and same with like the doctors. There's one guy who's like really into it because it's kind of weird for some reason, and then one
Yeah.
girl's like wants to turn it off. So I don't know, I thought this was a cool thing to show kind of about stuff.
Yeah, it just goes to show that like anything crazy or like unorthodox, like people are gonna want to watch it. They're gonna want to witness it. Like a car crash, right? Like you drive by with your head turned around watching the whole thing.
I mean, like, personally, I don't think I would watch it. I don't know.
You wouldn't be like intrigued.
Maybe like a little bit.
Like if someone forced Trudeau to fuck a pig.
I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way, like, fucking
That's
no one's on the streets, no one's anywhere, they're just watching this event, right?
fair, yeah.
I don't know. Someone will probably edit this episode and leak on the internet that Brooke from Podcast on Elm Street likes to watch bestiality. But yeah, so the pig's sedated. They're like, okay, there's only a skeleton crew in there. He goes in there and like the pig is just chowing away, and Alex is like telling him like, just take as long as you need. Like, we got information and advice from psychologists, and they said like, take as long as you need, and said like, don't rush it because people will think that you're enjoying it, which is like,
Yeah.
what the fuck? Like,
Yeah. We
I don't
mean
know.
don't rush it. Like I'd want it to be done and over with as quickly as possible.
He says like, I love my wife, like, may God forgive me. And he's doing it for like over an hour.
Yeah.
He's just
Def
fucking
definitely didn't rush
sweating
it.
and he can't, he's crying, sweating, he can barely breathe. It's like, that's something. And the most brilliant thing is that the princess gets released 30 minutes before he did it. It's just amazing because, like, I love the shots of like just around the London. There's no one in the streets, and then you see the princess on the bridge. And because everyone is so engulfed in this video, right?
Yeah,
And
like nobody even knew that she was out there.
no, it's crazy. So it also cuts to a guy hunt himself, and there's like a missing bloody finger from his hand. So clearly he was the guy that set all this stuff up. And then the episode ends, but there is some kind of more mid-credit scenes that happen. At this point, I thought Michael's life was like done. Like, I thought he was done for. But then a year later, he's still prime minister, and his numbers are like have skyrocketed since
Yeah.
then.
And you see him
And
like working with kids and like doing charity work and stuff like that.
you learn that it was an artist that did this whole thing. People are like praising the artist, which is fucked up. But yeah, I guess the moral of the story is, if you want to get ahead in life, just fuck a pig.
Oh my God. Woo! That threw me for a spin.
And then his wife is still with him as well, but then as soon as they walk in their house, she is a totally different person. So it's clear that she's putting this all on for a show.
But like, and that's what pisses me off about her, right? Like all she cares about is the image of their family. So like he did this to save this princess, to make people happy, to make the royal family happy, to make the voters happy. Now, meanwhile, she's doing the same thing by showing the public that they have this beautiful, happy family and like everything's honky-dory. But like, yeah, okay, maybe she didn't fuck a pig, but she's still like lying to the people. Like all he was trying to do was save a life and I don't know, solidify his place, I guess. I don't know. That's what I don't like about her.
Fair
Like
enough.
I can understand her not like looking at him the same way anymore, or like it's only like a year later, so like maybe having to work through this trauma that like and like he's the one that went through it. He's the one that had to do it.
Well, after he did it, he's just in the bathroom, fucking spits coming down his face. He's crying, and like his wife calls
Puking.
him, but he doesn't answer it, obviously, because it's went through a traumatic thing.
Yeah. So I don't know, like I feel like if she was a good person, she would have been supportive of him. Not so much supportive of the act, but just like supporting him afterwards. Anyways.
Before we end this episode, was there any kind of thing you took from this episode, like deeper meaning or kind of message they were saying? Because like this episode is more than just a guy having sex with a pig,
I think it like it's showing what society's like. It's showing that like the crazier it is, the grosser it is, the more shock value it is, people are gonna be like all over it. And like with the whole artist thing, like how you were saying, like people were praising him and like this guy's fucked, dude. And these people are praising him because of what he did was so artistic. Like, no, it wasn't. Oh, and one thing we forgot to mention too is the finger that they cut off wasn't actually the princess's finger. They staged
No.
that as well.
Yeah, it was his finger.
Did we say that? Did you mention that?
I did. Yeah, I mentioned it whenever he
Did
was
you?
hanging, he had the bloody hand.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did say that. What did you take from it?
Pretty much the same thing, like same thing you did, pretty much. Like, it just goes to show that like everyone is just attracted to disgusting and like out of worldly things. I can't say that word. Like even like TikTok or videos or tweets, like the most grotesque, wild shit gets the most likes. And especially for like the fucking prankster videos, like I fucking hate those. Like of people like walking into ghetto and going up to some guy and pretending to beef with them, and like just for like fucking videos, like you're gonna go up to like there's videos of people going up to like African Americans and saying the N-word just for likes. It's like, dude, you're gonna get yourself fucking killed. Like, people will do anything to get likes and all that.
Yeah,
So,
there's a certain point where it's not funny.
no.
And like where I don't know. And like with those videos, it's almost like people are just waiting for that one time where it's gonna be like ha.
But yeah.
All right. We say we're going to do our ratings.
Yeah.
All right. How did you rate this episode?
We're just doing the one, right? Like, yeah. I give it a 5 out of 10. It's not my favorite episode. This probably wouldn't be one that I would rewatch very often. I think I may have seen this episode maybe 3 times now. It's not my favorite. It's not very long, so I guess it's that has some going for it. So yeah, I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
How about you?
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's what I originally had it at, but I dropped it back to a 5.
It's not my favorite out of the season either. But it's well acted, and kudos to them for kicking off their series with this episode. I think that was like I've already said, like a bold choice, but it paid off. So I mean, kudos to them. Didn't like the wife. Blah blah blah. Already talked about that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the story's not like great with this one, but I don't know. I still think it was a good enough episode. Kudos to the pig, man, for agreeing to this.
I know, right?
Imagine him, he's going back to the farm, he's getting made fun of by all his friends because he got fucked by a human.
Well, I told Bettina about this episode and she kind of watched it with me, and I was like, what would you do? She's like, I'd save the pig and run away.
Fuck the princess.
Exactly.
This isn't Super Mario, bitch. All right, episode 2 is called 15 Million Merits. The synopsis: in a world where people's lives consist of riding exercise bikes to gain credits, Bing tries to help a woman get onto a singing competition show. It was directed by Uros Lynn, who did 12 episodes of Doctor Who, Heartstopper, 2 episodes of Daredevil, and 5 episodes of Torchwood. The cast is Daniel Kaluuya. Is that how you pronounce his name? Kaluuya?
Yeah, honestly, I have no idea.
I don't know. We'll roll with it. He plays Bing, and he's obviously making a huge name for himself lately. He was in Nope, Get Out, Black Panther, Judas and the Black Messiah, among many other things, but he's so good, man. Such a good
Well,
actor.
yeah.
Next is Jessica Brown Finley, who plays Abby. She's in Brave New World and Harlots. Rupert Everett, who I did not recognize at all in this movie.
No, me either.
He played Judge Hope. He was in My Best Friend's Wedding, Cemetery Man, Napoleon, and Shrek 2 and 3. Julia Davis played Judge Charity. She was in Love Actually, 2024 remake of The Toxic Avenger, and Fighting With My Family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right. Kick off this discussion.
So quite a change of pace going from the first episode to this episode. This episode kind of seems like it's way more in the future. I don't know exactly how this world is like it, but in this, what I imagine is like a building of some sort, and there's like millions of levels or thousands of levels, and each level has different tasks, I guess. And the one that our main characters are on is they basically have to spin bike all day to generate power or whatever. They don't really know, to be honest. The powers that be say it's to power the world, I guess, right?
Yeah, lights, electricity, everything like that.
Yeah. And as they're pedaling, they are gaining I guess merits or credits, whatever. And our main character Bane, he's in his room, and this would be a terrible place to live, man. Like your eyes would be destroyed from all the fucking screens. Like the room is like fucking like, I don't know, 8 by 8, right? And like screens all around, and man.
The walls are literally just made of television screens and
I do love throughout this episode all the Wraith Babes promos and commercials that pop up, and like he can like move his hands to skip it, and then like thing pops up like, are you sure you want to skip? Like it'll cost you merits, and like he does, and it takes off like a thousand merits or whatever. And as they're on like these pedal bikes, there's like different, I guess, TV shows or programs that they can watch. There's like games, there's TV shows. There's one called was it
Fuck, I can't remember.
Bother Gouts or something like
Bother
that?
Gut or something.
Bother Gut, yeah.
And it's all like overweight people getting like made fun of and shit.
Yeah, they have to eat like food and like get stuff sprayed at them. There's like even a computer vending machine that doesn't seem to work. And there's a couple like characters in here. We don't get too much from them, but you kind of like know how they are. Like Bane, there's Dustin, maybe, is it? No, Dustin or Justin. Swift is like a girl who she doesn't really talk much, but it seems like she likes Bane, and she kind of has different feelings about different things throughout this episode.
The one guy, Justin, if that's what his name is, he's like super obnoxious, and he rides the bike that's right beside Bing,
Yeah,
because
it's Dustin, yeah.
everybody has their own designated bike that they ride on. And he's just super obnoxious. He's always yelling at TV screen. And he's always watching the race babes like while he's riding the bike. And there's these people that go around and they like clean up because like they're drinking water bottles and then just throwing them. So there's like a custodian staff, I guess. And they're all overweight people. So they're people that can't ride the bike. So this is their job. And he's just a complete piece of shit to them.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
But Bane has 15 million credits. Swift has like 7,000 credits. So clearly, like, Bane has either been there a long time or like something. He's just working a lot harder than everyone else. You don't really know why.
We do know why.
Well, later in the episode, we find out.
Oh, yeah.
There's like this hot shot game show where people could go on and like kind of, it's kind of like America's Got Talent or Canada's Got Talent. They can like sing, dance, you know, whatever they want to get on the show. Skipping stuff takes away money, and there's like so many different ads. And I love this scene whenever, like, because he can be like playing a game, and out of nowhere, this like Wraith Babes commercial pops on. It's like super fucking loud. And like he hates it, and he's like, you know, skip. And they're like, are you sure you want to skip? And he's like, what else were you planning to do with that hand? And like he looks at his hand, and he's like,
But it's just like how right now, like what we have, right? Like if you're playing any mobile games, you always have ads, or you can pay for the premium version and it's ad-free. Same with fucking Spotify, YouTube, like everything that we use now has ads, but there's you can pay money to get rid of those ads. So it's the exact same type of concept. It's just not like a like this is just a one-time fee. Whereas in the show, it's like every time an ad comes, you have to pay it to get rid of it.
And then if you aren't looking at the screens, if you like look down or cover your face, this fucking the most annoying thing ever. There's like a red screen, and then like a thing pops up saying resume viewing, and this loud, like almost like that like dog whistle thing. And it's super loud and oh man, brutal. So he's in the bathroom. He guess it's like a shared bathroom because he hears Abby singing in the stall. And they even have to like pay for like soap and like toothpaste and stuff like that. Like crazy.
And yeah, like their currency are these merits. So everything that they have to pay for is paid for with these merits.
Before in the episode, when he's at the vending machine, doesn't work. He's trying to eat an apple because like his thing is he only eats like healthy stuff, and the apple gets stuck. And then Swift comes over and like shows him the trick of how to get it out. And then she like is kind of like flirting with him, hitting on him. And then like at this point later, Abby takes the apple and gets stuck. And then he uses that on her, even says like the same joke that like Swift did. So like I feel bad for Swift, man. Like she clearly like likes him, but she just seems kind of like too scared to really talk to him and stuff like that. But he's like starting to like Abby a lot. Like they're on the bike and like he's looking back, looking at her, and Swift is looking around like, oh, who are you looking at? He tells Abby that she should try out for Hotshot. She's like, I don't know, it's like 12 million bears to enter. And he's like, well, I mean, I could gift you it. And he's like, I have like 15 million. And she's like, holy shit, like, how'd you get that? And he says his brother left it. He passed away last year, so I got all of his credits. And then he's like laying in bed, and he like brings up the thing to like buy the golden ticket, and he realizes that it's 15 million to enter, and that's pretty much like all he has. But he decides to do it anyway, sends her the gift. And then another Wraith Babes commercial comes on.
Always.
Yeah, it's basically like porno. If anyone's ever seen it, seen this episode.
Anyone's ever seen porno?
Yeah.
No, it's kind of like if you're on a website and like how the stupid pop up, it's always fucking sex ads. Always. And it's frustrating because like I'll be watching shit on my laptop with my kids beside me, and I got 40 plus hot moms in your area right now. It's like, Jesus Christ, get the fuck off my screen.
So yeah, they're going to Hotshot, and Abby can bring him with her. So she like goes up and like they stamp him with like some kind of, I don't know, guest pass, I guess.
But it's
And
like a tattoo.
yeah, it stays on his hand for like up to 2 months or something like that. And I love when they go into the waiting room, and it almost felt like when they crossed over to this Hotshot place, like all the workers looked depressed. Like it almost gave me the sense of like the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And
Yeah, that's a fair point.
it does go to show that with how this episode ends, right? Because they think it's all this great thing. They're going to sit in the show and, you know.
Where like realistically the life that they had, like, yeah, it sucks. Like you're riding a bike for 8 hours a day, but I mean, you have the money to do what you want. You
You'd be in
have
good shape.
you'd be in good shape,
I
that's for
mean,
sure.
ideally, right?
Yeah. And like you can watch all this shit, you can play the games, you can, I mean, it'd be boring as fuck, but at least you don't have anybody really controlling you.
I love whenever they get into like the waiting area and like everyone is there, like either like practicing singing or like there's guys dancing, and then like they're sitting there, and then like a guy with like a clipboard comes up and it's like, okay, the girl with the black hair, yeah, pretty, goes up to her. Then there's like this Irish girl who is like, what do you mean? She just got in here. Like, I've been here for a whole week. And he's like, sorry, like I don't pick who goes. And she's just like, you're a fucking cunt. I love later on, whenever it's like probably months later and she's still in there. So funny. So they get to like the stage because they want to like preview her, and like the other girl at the side who's like telling her what to do, they're like, okay, drink this drink, and it's like a compliance drink. So it's like, I like that she doesn't even look at what she's drinking, she just like drinks it, but it's like a drink for her to like, well, comply to what the people are telling her to do, right? Yeah,
Fucked
very
up.
government relatable, right?
Very true.
Well, this whole thing, right, is like, well, the way that Bing talks about it later on. But clearly the people at the three judges. So you got Judge,
Hope, Charity, and Wraith.
as soon as she gets up there, Wraith is like, hey, yeah, before you start singing, let me see those titties. Pull your shirt up. And I was like, what the fuck? And So she starts singing, and I love Judge Hope because like he's like the classic like judge, like
Simon Cowell.
starts off with like, you know, I gotta say, and like kind of like leaving it like word. But he's
Banger.
like the greatest singer we've had this season, and you know, everyone starts cheering, yeah. But then like Charity is like, but you know, I don't know if the men in this audience really liked your singing, because you have to have more than just your voice. And then Hope is like, yeah, I mean, you were good, but we're pretty capped off for singers this season. We want to go with something new, and you kind of like know what they're like hinting towards, right? And then Wraith is like, you'd be great on my show and stuff like this. And they're just like basically brainwashing this girl into joining Wraith's streams. And like Hope is getting the audience all pumped up, like, wouldn't you agree with that? And like everyone in the rooms is like, do it, do it. And like it's crazy, man.
That's another thing too. The audience, like, it's all, like if you ever played Wii, it's all like Miis, basically. It's like
Yeah.
created little avatars, but it's everybody sitting in the rooms, but it makes it look like they're the crowd.
Yeah, and they basically give her the ultimatum, like either go back on the bikes or join the babes. And yeah, she chose to be a porn star for like I don't know, I guess in the rest of her life. I don't know how
Yeah, I
long
don't
she
know.
has to do that for, but
But like you can tell she doesn't want to do it. Like she's crying.
no.
She's really kind of playing over all the scenarios in her head. And
Yeah.
then Bing's off to the side and he tries to go out onto the stage and the people stop him from going out.
Yeah.
But like it's definitely like a big internal conflict with her.
Yeah.
Like, do I want to ride the bike the rest of my life or do
Yeah.
I want to have this?
Yeah. So she gets taken away. She joins this stream, and which is like an entirely different place than where Bane is. Bane is kind of depressed. He's going down into this sadness because he basically sent her there to do that, right? Like he paid for. I love the shot whenever he's in the cafeteria and he's eating like the mozzarella sticks and the can of pop, because like his thing was like he always just ate healthy and he's just spending money on junk and doing all this stuff, watching the porn, doing all that stuff. And then like it cuts to him in his room, and he the babes thing comes up again, and like he tries to skip it but doesn't have enough any currency. He has like 800 merits left, just like Jesus Christ, man. And then like the resume viewing thing is on because like it has Abby on the screen and then like her first kind of porn video, and he just loses it. He just goes nuts. He smashes into the screen, it cracks, it like a piece of glass fall out, and like there's a big shard of glass. And he looks at his hand and is like trying about to like basically lift it off his skin. But then he kind of stops and has like a turn, like, okay, I'm gonna do this now. And it's just a crazy switch that he has.
I like this fucking word that I'm looking for.
Montage.
Yeah, montage, that's it. I kept having monologue in my head. It's this montage of him like trying to learn how to dance in his room, and then it'll cut to him on the bike, and he's just like hauling ass on the bike, and he's not spending credits on food anymore. He waits until people leave the cafeteria and then he eats their scraps.
Yeah, I love
He's
like when he gets the toothpaste, he's like, and it's like one merit and it's like a little tiny thing of toothpaste.
And he's saving every credit that he possibly can in order to gain 15 million again. And he does it in like 2 months because he keeps looking down at his hand, right, for the tattoo.
Oh, so that's how much time went by. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So by the
Huh.
time he gets the 15 million, his tattoo is gone.
Yeah. So he ends up taking the shard of glass with him after he bought the golden ticket. He takes the compliance. He kept that under his bed as well. I love that he gets to the waiting room and the other girl is still there waiting. Oh, that was so funny. So he's on stage and the judge is like, all right, what are you gonna do? And he's like, I'm an entertainer. And then he pulls out the shard to his neck and they're like, oh, whoa, whoa. And he's like, I have something to say, and are all gonna kill myself. And they're like, okay, well, I think we should give him something to say. And like everyone's cheering him on. And this like speech was insane. Like, I've never liked this episode really. Like the first time I watched it, I didn't really like it. I think I watched it like a second time maybe, but this part like totally changed the episode for me.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
this fucking speech is what got Daniel Kaluuya the fucking Oscar for best actor or supporting actor in Judas and the Black Messiah. This speech was fucking nuts. Like, to act like this on a fucking TV show, and like he's been in other stuff, but this is definitely what skyrocketed him into Hollywood.
Yeah, because this season was what, 13 years ago now.
Yeah, because Get Out was like 2017, I think.
Yeah. I don't know what he did in between
I think he did
this.
Sicario. He had a small part in Sicario.
Was he in there?
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, like he was virtually unknown
Yeah.
before this season, right?
Yeah.
Trying to go back. Yes, Sicario 2015. He was in Kick-Ass 2. Yeah. But prior to this, he was in like some random shows, one episode here and there. Not much. But even like after this, like, so this is 2011. And he's in a TV show, 8 episodes, a short. Welcome to the Punch in 2013, Kick-Ass 2 in 2013, another short, 7 episodes of a TV show, Sicario, and then Get Out. So, like, I don't know. It's not like this episode, like, it was instant fame, but I mean, Jordan Peele could have just watched this episode and been like, yeah, this is going to be my guy now.
And he probably did because Jordan Peele, didn't he do the Twilight Zone remake or whatever?
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. It's true.
But man, like, this dude goes off for like a solid 3 minutes. And the emotion he had in this fucking rant was insane, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, he's going off a bit like, he doesn't even know what to say, but he just goes on and like he's basically saying like, why are we basically here? Like, well, he's talking in like British slang, right?
Yeah.
So, which makes it that much better because he's like this fodder and like all this stuff, and like
Yeah.
fodder, I'm guessing, is like fake. He's like, you know, what are we even like biking and powering up? Like the fucking spotlight, like what is all this for, basically, right? It's all fake stuff, you know. We can on our what do you call them, the Dopplers or whatever, like when you
Yeah.
can buy like items for your character, it's like it's all useless stuff. And like even his conversation with Abby before, she's like, well, why don't you spend the money on yourself? And he's like, what am I gonna do, buy myself a fucking new haircut, like for my whatever,
Yeah.
you know? And then so he has this like shard to his neck. And I love that Judge Hope. He's like doing his judge thing. Well, I gotta say, that's gotta be the best speech I've seen all like since the show started. And like the whole crowd starts clapping and like he just changes it like that. And like they take control back, right? Because he's like, I got an offer for you. How about, would you like to talk like that on my show for twice a week for 30 minutes?
Yeah.
And then he does it.
Yeah. And you see him later on, and like when he gets this offer, you think he's going to be like a motivational speaker, or like he's going to be like a hype man, like hyping people up. But then you see him, and he's just being like the narrator basically on these ads, but he's standing with his face in the screen with the fucking shard of glass up to his neck the whole time. Like,
Yeah.
he's not doing anything what he just did on stage.
No.
Like, they're just using him for his voice and his face.
Yeah. But hey, it looks like he's living pretty lavishly, right? He's
Yeah.
got like fucking orange juice. He got a nice, I mean, I couldn't tell if it was a real view or just the screens, you know?
Yeah.
And then, we do see Abby's like doing her videos and stuff like that, and then the episode ends, and I died fucking laughing at this line. The girl, the Irish girl from the waiting room, comes on finally, and she's singing and she's like really bad, and Wraith just goes, we say like, even if I were to fill that pussy with honey, I still wouldn't fuck it. And then Charity or whatever is like, yeah, honey, that was just terrible. And that was so
That's
funny.
good. But she was like the stereotypical person that you see like on American Idol during the auditions. Like she's all confident and shit and then just absolute trash.
So yeah, man, that's pretty much it. Again, was there anything that you kind of took away from this episode as kind of like a message or a bigger picture?
I like how you compared it to like the government, like they have control over everything. People are just kind of like their puppets.
Yeah.
So like not just the government, but also like the elite,
Yeah.
right? Like the elite's running the world. Everybody else
Yeah.
is just doing their hard work for them while they're the ones that are kind of sitting on top and reaping all
Yeah.
the rewards.
Yeah, I like how they make the people of power like judges, like on a game show where it's like they're using that fake bravado and stuff to like get you to change your ways, like, you know.
And it's also like it also shows the idea of like consumerism and technology. People are only worried about like what their image looks like online, sort of thing. Like with the whole avatars and all that stuff. And there are still like the few people that like boycott social media and stuff like that. Like they don't have any of that stuff. Which is what, like, kind of what Bing's character was in a sense. I like that his name's Bing, too, like the search engine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right, you ready to rate this episode?
Sure. Let's see, you go first this time.
All right. For this one, I gave it an 8 out of 10. It started off a bit slow, but I think. Like Daniel Kaluuya's performance really kind of helped push this episode along. I think he did an amazing job. I thought it was like really, really creative the way that they did everything. And I think the way that it was shot was really well done too. Like it's all bright colors, like very flashy, catches your eye. Yeah, that monologue at the end, just absolute chills. And no matter how you feel about this episode leading up to that point, like that's got to be a turning point because I think he did such an amazing job, and especially considering he was basically like a nobody actor back then. I think he did an amazing job. And I feel like the message in this one was really good and the best in this season. Because it just seems so relevant. To our day and age now. So, yeah, 8 out of 10 for this one.
Nice. I also gave it an 8 out of 10, and I would totally agree with you. I think the latter half of this episode is much stronger than the first. Because the first is kind of slow, very different vibe from the first episode. But like his performance in the end was just amazing. I think this one takes a few watches to kind of pick up like the message that they're kind of saying. Like everyone is on riding bikes in this, like that's all they do all day. And I feel like it's kind of like how some of us are in that in our normal work lives, right? Like it's just this constant thing. You go to work, get home, make dinner, watch TV,
Just a
and
loop day after day.
exactly. So yeah, I give it 8 out of 10.
Nice. All right. Episode 3, The Entire History of You.
Of me.
Of you. In the near future, everyone has access to a memory implant that records everything they do, see, and hear. You need never forget a face again, but is that always a good thing? So it's directed by Brian Welsh, who has done nothing that I recognized, so I didn't bother writing anything down. It stars Toby Kebbell, who plays Liam. He was in Fantastic Four, Warcraft, Rock and Rolla. For All Mankind and Servant, which is an amazing show if you haven't watched
Who is
it.
he playing Servant?
He's the dad, the main guy.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of that. I have seen the first couple episodes of this show, but I was thinking of that one on Apple TV.
Yeah, this one's on Apple TV too, but
So I'm, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Jodie Whittaker plays Fee. She actually plays the female Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And she was also in Attack the Block.
Yep.
Tom Cullen plays Jonas. He was in Weekend, the other half, in Castle on the Ground. And Amy Beth Hayes plays Lucy. She was in The Power and two episodes of Bridgerton. Let's talk about this one.
So would you want to have a recording device?
It's tough
Very tough.
because if you live an honest life,
Yeah.
then yeah, sure. And I mean, I feel like I don't have too much in my life that I could get in trouble with, but like it would be good for like memories with kids. Like I would never have to lose a memory
Yeah.
and stuff like that. And like, I don't know, it'd be helpful for like trivia nights down at the bar,
It's
stuff like that.
true, yeah.
So yeah, I think there's definite pros and cons to having this. But yeah, I think I would like to have it.
Yeah.
But like you're also like you're able to keep all the good memories, but that means you're also able to keep all the bad memories too. So
But you
I
can
don't know.
erase stuff, though.
That's true. Yeah, I think I would want it. What about you?
I think probably at the end of the day, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, because this episode we are with a couple who are going through tough times, or at least the husband is very suspicious of something happening. Now, at this dinner party, we do get, kind of a divide, not a divide, kind of like one girl who like works on this thing called a grain and is like very much for it. And there's another girl who, I think she like got in an accident or something like that and like got it taken out and she didn't get it put back in. So she like doesn't have this and she's saying like it's wonderful, it's great. But I think I would have one,
She seems to be, well, she's definitely the only person at this dinner party that doesn't have one, but it seems like it's kind of like common, right? Like everybody has it.
Yeah, even
Like
when
it's
you're
not,
born, I think too.
oh, is it goes that, yeah, I guess
Well, because
it.
the baby was like,
Yeah.
it looks at the baby.
That's true, it did. Yeah.
But I liked also that when Liam is at like, he's coming through like his appraisal or interview and he's going through security, and security's like, okay, just gotta look at your memories from the past 62 hours or whatever it is and like goes through it. Like, I like that that's like the security check that they have.
Yeah, to make sure that they haven't committed any crimes or anything like that.
So our main guy Liam, he arrives at the dinner party and we meet his girl. Her name, like, written is very weird. I don't know how he would pronounce it, but they
It's,
call her Fee in the
yeah,
episode.
Fion.
Yeah.
Fion?
I mean, I guess, but like, why have
Fion?
two F's?
I don't know.
But yeah, he arrives to the dinner party. Fee is talking to another guy named Jonas, and immediately you get the vibe from Liam's perspective that something, he doesn't feel kind of right with the way that she's interacting with Jonas. And I like that one of the guys is like at the TV, he's looking back at his, like, they call it redos, where they like revisit memories. And then they're like, well, how do we redo your appraisal? And we'll like give you notes and kind of grade you on it. And they're like, oh, I don't know, okay. And then Jonas comes out and he's like, that's not a really good idea, stuff like that. I don't know if I would want like people, I don't know, like, it's weird, right?
I wouldn't be sharing my memories on a TV at a party
Yeah.
unless it was
No.
like holy fuck, like I have this wild ass story, but I'll just play it so like I don't have to tell you.
Man, that would save so much time.
It would for sure. But
Because
like
it'd be like, and save that awkward like story whenever something amazing happens to you and
yeah.
you're trying to explain it, but the person you're telling it to just like isn't getting it, and you're like, man, it'd be a lot better if you were there in person. What were you gonna say?
Don't remember.
Okay.
I think it was just, yeah, like I wouldn't want people to, like, those are my memories, right? Like I don't want
Yeah.
people like tapping into my, like that's my private shit, right? Be like if someone
Yeah.
hacked into my computer or something like that, I'd feel like, I don't know.
That's probably a thing that would happen in this world, right?
Yeah.
Like eventually someone could hack into your shit.
That's true, yeah. What do you think the storage is on these things?
It must be pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. So they're at dinner. At this point, Jonas thinks that like Jonas is kind of being weird with Fee. Jonas is kind of like the life of the party. Like he's very loud, outspoken. He's talking about how that he likes to look at redos of his old hookups. Like there was a girl he was with. She went up to bed and he's like, yeah, she wanted me to go up and have sex with her, but I just wanted to sit downstairs and go through my old redos of like hookups and stuff and basically jerk off. And everyone's kind of like turned off by it and is kind of like, this guy's kind of an asshole. And then throughout the whole conversation, Liam is looking at Fee to get her reaction because he thinks something's going on between them. We learned that Halam doesn't have a grain. Another girl is like, she works in it and she's like saying how great it is. And Halam is saying that her life is actually a lot better now that she doesn't have it. So it's kind of like a divide of how people feel about it.
But it's also like these people don't know life without it, right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Whereas she does now, and she's realizing that it's better.
Yeah. So at the end of the night, Joan or Liam and Fee are driving in the car, and Jonas keeps asking her, like, so how long have you known Jonas? Like, is how long has he been friends? And you kind of learn that well, when they get home, they learn that they dated for like a week or a couple of months. But then you see like Leah Jonas, he's in the car behind them because Liam invited him over. But Liam is like, well, you wanted him to come over. And Fee is like, no, you said you wanted him to come over. And he's like, no. And she's like, play it back. So they play it back. And, Liam is like, well, it's kind of early now. And Jonas is like, well, when we go for a bar for a drink. And he's like, oh, we got to get the bar, the babysitter off the hook. And he's like, well, come back to my place for a drink or whatever. So it kind of like proves the point, right? Like that kind of starts like why I wouldn't want this.
Yeah.
Because it turns into like kind of like a toxic relationship, right?
Yeah, that's very true. You can't have the typical like, oh, I told you that already. Oh, well, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
Fucking play it back.
Yeah, exactly. So then they get to the house and Joan or Liam is like, well, I don't want him here. And she's like, all right, well, tell him like to go. My lovely get back to the house and Liam's just like, yeah, we gotta let the babysitter go. And we're kind of more tired than we thought we were, and we weren't tired before we came, but now we're tired. So he's like, okay, you gotta go. And just like George just leaves like that. I
Yeah.
thought it was funny. I do like the conversation that they have inside because he's kind of nagging on her again about Jonas, you find out that he is, I didn't write the word, a Harakesh guy or something like that. They dated for like a month or something like that, and hooked up, and then Liam calls her a bitch, and immediately he's like, "Oh, I didn't mean it," and she just plays it back on the big ass TV of him saying, "You're a bitch." Yeah, so the next morning he is talking with the nanny, asking her like, "Oh, how do you like interpret this conversation, and what do you feel about Liam?"
I feel like he's very insecure in their
Okay.
relationship.
Yeah.
Like he obviously has suspicions.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't know. I mean, if you have a suspicion, like,
I know. But I think like kind of the way he goes about it, but he has the technology, but it kind of makes him look like a bigger dick, even though in the end he is in the right. Like, she did cheat on him with Jonas, but his like attitude, I don't know. I get it, but
in a sense, though, like I kind of like the way that he goes about things because he gives her ample opportunity to confess to things.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She keeps denying, denying, denying until he finally has to resort to using the technology to catch her in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like he's pretty aggressive, but
He is. Yeah.
I mean, that's his wife, right?
Yeah.
The mother of his child.
Yeah. I also thought the one scene of, so they have their fight, and then it just cuts to them having sex. And it's like not the sex that we actually see, it's like really good sex. And they're like, oh, they're like they're back together. But then it cuts to them, it's creepy as fuck, with their eyes in the grain. And they're like having sex while they're both thinking about the good times of sex. But I wonder, do you think she is thinking of the sex with him?
I think she's, yeah, with Jonas.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah. But
Yeah, because
like,
their eyes, whenever they go into the grain, their eyes like almost get like a camera lens over top.
bless you.
Bless me.
They get
Then
grainy.
yeah, they get grainy. That's right. But yeah, it looks creepy because like it goes like grayed over, like almost like the eyes of a blind person.
Yeah. But I mean, like, at that point in a relationship, like, would you not just call it quits? Like, at this point, you have to know that your relationship is like, not going well.
Yeah, like you're just going through the motions at this point.
Yeah. So the next morning, he's talking with the babysitter, asking her questions about the dinner party talk, because at one point, Jonas says like a really shitty joke, and Fee is the only one that laughs at it. So he asked the nanny, like, and he's drinking whiskey at like whatever 8 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, "Did you find that funny?" And she's kind of like awkward, like, "I don't want to be a part of this," but he's like, "No, tell me." And she's like, "No, not really." And he's like, "Okay." And then Fee comes down, she's like, "Oh, what's going on?" And he's drunk, and he asks, the nanny leaves, and then Fee is talking with him, and he asks her like, "Well, look at the way that you look at Jonas." And he like goes back, and she's like all like happy, and then he's like, "Look at the way you look at me." And then she looks at him and like gets like a weird awkward face, and like he is correct, but I feel like the memory thing is kind of like helping him too much, even though like he's kind of right. Like, it's kind of like in sports, right? Whenever something happens, either like an offsides or a goal that should have been but doesn't, and like people rip on the refs because it's like they missed it, but then look at the replay and it's like, oh, how do you miss that? It's like, well, you're looking back on replay, it's slower, it's
Yeah, 'cause That's a good point. Because, like, maybe she made a face at him. Like, maybe it's just like a quick thing and it wasn't even like conscious, you
Might
know?
just be reading it wrong, you know?
Yeah, it could be reading it wrong. Maybe somebody farted and she just happened to look in his direction with like that face. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, this is where the turning point is, where he kind of, like I said, he's being aggressive with it. He's not really giving her any chance to speak. It's all just like, look at this, look at this, look at this.
Yeah.
And he kind of blindsides her with it too, like she just came downstairs.
Yeah. But then he is like, okay, like, oh, one more chance. Like, tell me if something happened. She's like, no. And then he goes back to a video because the night before, one of the other people were showing like a memory of some party that they were all at. And he's like, how long were you with Marrakesh guy? And she's like, oh, a month or whatever. And he was like, okay. He zooms into the picture in the background. She is kissing Jonas. He's like, that was at that party. So you're with him for months? She's like, oh, yeah, I was with him for 6 months. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, clearly you're lying in that he's like onto it, right? So then he is still drinking. She leaves. He ends up driving to Jonas's house. And I love when he gets in the car that the grain like tells him like you shouldn't drive and that your insurance will be void.
Yeah.
So he gets to Jonas's house. He's drunk. He just like bursts into his house and Hallam comes out. So like Jonas hooked up with her and you know Liam makes a joke like, oh, did you record the sex act with her? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
He ends up telling Jonas to show him the video of him with Fee, and Jonas keeps denying it. And then eventually, Jonas is about to kick him out of the house, and Liam grabs the ball and hits him in the head with it. And then it cuts to Liam in the car, crashed, and he gets out, and like it has him looking back on it. I really like the way that they directed this episode
Yeah.
because like it uses the grain but doesn't like overdo it throughout the episode.
And they use it as if, like, how in a normal show or movie, like, they would do a flashback, right? Like, they use it for like flashback scenes, which was really cool. But he also makes Jonas delete his entire memory bank,
Yeah.
which is like super shitty of him, because like his whole memory bank, not just stuff with Fee.
Oh, it wasn't. I thought it was just stuff with Fee.
I think he made him delete the whole thing.
Oh.
Oops. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so then he's back at the house and Fee comes home, or no, he comes home and he walks in immediately and he's like, did you use a condom? And she's just like, what? And he's like, just tell me, like, did you use a condom? And she's just like, yeah, we did. And he asks, like, is Jody my kid? And she's like, yeah, of course. And he's like, okay, show me the video. And she's like, at first, she's like, no, I deleted it because I didn't want to watch it. And then he kind of like talks to her more and finds out. Oh, she tells him that there's like a blank space in her memory. And he's like, okay, we'll play that. And she like goes over and she's like going, and he immediately like knows that she's gonna delete the video, and he takes her little controller away. And he's like, you didn't delete it, like show me. And she's like crying, she's telling him no. But then she puts it on, and he knows that he had sex with her because of the picture in their bedroom, because he says like, I hated that fucking picture, stuff like this. And then the video that he saw in the screenshot of Jonas's was that picture.
Yeah.
And
And he knows, because it's dated in the memory bank too, right? It says 18 months ago. So that's why he's questioning whether he's the father of their child or not, because it like kind of lines up with the age of the child plus like her pregnancy and everything.
And yeah, the movie or the episode kind of ends there after their fight. And then it comes back and we're looking through the eyes of Liam, looking at his kid, and then it like cuts to him laying on the bed with like a panty and everything gone. So clearly she has moved on. They broke up or he kicked her out. Who knows what happened? Do you think it was his kid or no?
It's the tough call. I don't know. Because, I mean, it could be, but like all the stars kind of aligned where it also might not be. I mean, the kid's name is Jody. His name is Jonas. Like, I don't know.
But I do like this. It reminded me of Eternal Sunshine a lot. Because like he's walking through the different parts of his house. He like walks into like the kitchen and she's like sitting there eating cereal, and then she sees him and is like laughing, comes and kisses him. Then he goes back to like his like where he is now, and there's like dirty glasses everywhere, beer bottles. And he's like looking back in all the memories of her. So clearly he's very broken up about it, obviously, because he had a supposed kid with her. Then he goes into the bathroom and he decides to take out the grain from his neck. And it's probably the best decision, honestly. It'd be tough though, you know.
Getting rid of all the memories with her.
And that's pretty much it for this episode.
Okay. I don't think there's really like any sort of like obviously there's like a moral to the story, but I don't think it's as hidden as the other episodes.
I don't have to dig for it. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's kind of like boom right there. All right, so how did you rate this episode?
I also gave this one an 8 out of 10, same as the last episode. I just think like for what it is, the concept is cool. Like Eternal Sunshine is one of my favorite movies of all time, so like kind of grasp with it on that sense. And this is like a shorter episode, it's under an hour. I just think the performances were good, the subject matter and the story were good. I mean, maybe a bit too high. I don't know. Yeah, I'll stick with that. 8 out of 10. How about you?
I gave this one an 8.5 out of 10.
8.5.
I said this one just squeaked in as my favorite episode of the season.
All right.
It was very well acted by like everybody. I think everybody did a really good job. Whereas like in episode two, like it was well acted by everybody, but like Daniel Kaluuya's character was like definitely the shining star. But like in this one, I feel like all the main characters did a really good job. I think this was like a really cool idea, and I definitely think that this could happen in our future, like these implants. I feel like this is something like out of all three of these episodes, I think this is like one that's pretty much in tune with like where our technology is going. 'Cause like everything's AI and like virtual reality now and augmented reality. Like I feel like this is closer than maybe what we think. It definitely shows how shitty people can be whenever they don't think they'll get caught, but like this gives you very less opportunities to not get caught. So yeah, I don't know. I just really like this episode. All right, so you had two episodes that you rated 8 out of 10. Which one's your favorite of this season?
Probably the entire history of you. Just I feel like it is a shorter episode, like not by much, honestly, like 10, 15 minutes, but I feel like I have to think more when I'm watching the other one. You know?
Cool. All right. So we would have ranked them the same then. 3, 2, 1. All right. Cool. Okay. For Rotten Tomatoes, I'm doing the season as a whole. So the critics' consensus, Black Mirror begins with a disquieting shudder in a canny first season that will instantly hook viewers into a brave new world of alienation. So based on that, What do you think critics scored season one of Black Mirror?
76.
This might be the furthest you've ever been. 98%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's
Jesus.
on 69 reviews.
Okay. Wow.
The audience have it at a 93%.
Okay. So the people love Black Mirror.
Yeah. First season, anyways.
Yeah.
And even like on IMDb, the ratings were pretty high for these episodes.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
So yeah. 98% for the critics, 93% for the audience. Much to my
Nice.
surprise, Letterboxd does have these episodes on there. So
Yes.
how are they looking?
I also gotta say the fucking posters for all these episodes are so cool.
Yeah, they are.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
So the national anthem has a 3.4 out of 5. I gave it a 2.5. I believe you gave it what, a
I give it
three?
three, yeah.
Three, yeah. 15 Million Merits has a 3.7. I give it a 4. I believe you also gave it a 4. And then The Entire History of You has a 3.7 as well. I gave it a 4 and gave it a 4.
I give it a four as well,
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
So we're not too far off from the Letterboxd scores.
Nope.
And it's ironic too, because the two episodes that you gave identical scores to had identical scores on Rotten Tomatoes too.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Little bit different with the scare section, because like there's not like a lot of death in these episodes. It's not like really a scary franchise. It's not like, I mean, so anyways, what we're gonna do, like, is there any horror elements in these episodes?
In these particular episodes, I don't think as much. I think this season went more of a sci-fi route. I mean, I guess not the first episode, but more of a sci-fi. I think for me, like, it's more of like if this stuff could happen, like, oh, it could for sure. Like, we could definitely, third episode, I think we can see our society being there, like, within the next 20, 40, 50 years. First episode could happen at any given time, honestly. Surprised it hasn't happened yet. Second episode, just kind of like how realistic it is, like kind of like compared to our lives today and how people act and how society is. So not really like horror scary, but just kind of like our friend Casey said tonight, like conspiracy theory stuff, like anxiety, and yeah. So how about you?
Yeah, I think that's a better way of putting it, where it's not horror, but it's more anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the whole premise of like a Black Mirror is the television screen whenever it's turned off, right? Like it acts as a mirror, but it's dark and it's black. So I think these three episodes really kind of help and capture that. Yeah, I don't know. Like it's scary thoughts to think about, because this is the direction that our world is going and our society is going. But as for like really being scary, I wouldn't necessarily say so. All right. It's a long episode.
I know.
Okay, so we're going back to our regularly scheduled programming of once every 2 weeks. So next week, we're going to do an episode on podcast on Fury Road. So make sure you check that out. We'll be kicking off our Mad Max 2 month playthrough, I guess. But in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing my pick, which is the original It miniseries.
Nice.
So that's what, I think 3 hours worth of it,
Yeah.
which is still not far off from chapter two.
Yeah. No. That's true.
But it's been a long time since I've watched this,
Yeah, it's been
and
a few years too since I've seen it. Yeah.
yeah, and you and I both, we just finished reading the book
Yeah.
last month, so I think it's going to be a fun discussion to kind of compare and contrast between the book and the movie.
Yeah.
Well, the mini series, I guess, but
Yeah.
because this, yeah, I don't know. This was like the original vision of that book on screen. So see
Yeah.
how it works.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up. It's getting
Yeah,
late.
it is.
If you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere you listen to us.
Very good.
All right. Good pick with this.
Thank you.
I enjoyed rewatching this season and talking
Yeah.
about it.
Me too. Me too.
You've kind of sparked me. I kind of want to watch the rest of them now, like all the way through.
All right. There you go, man.
We already got season one in the book, so
Yeah.
three episodes down.
You gotta get those Letterboxd ratings up.
Yeah.
cool. All right. We'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
All right, see you later.